Hello and welcome
to the Local Economic Development Podcast,
hosted by Sean Cunningham
and Jörg Meyerstammer.
For other programs in this series,
please have a look at www.ledcast.net. In this episode, you can listen to a conversation between Martin Gasser, who is working on local economic development at the International Training Center of the International Labour Organization, and Ulrika Mislitke, who is one of the MISO partners. The conversation happened actually by accident. Both of them were recently involved in an LED training course at that center, and at one point they were stuck in a meeting room because a thunderstorm was going on outside. So they decided to record this podcast, though unfortunately they did not have the really good sound recording equipment. So please accept our apologies for the not so brilliant sound quality of this episode. Here we go.
Hello. We are sitting here at the training center of the International Labour Organization in Turin to produce a podcast about the role of the ILO in LED. I'd like to present Martin Gasser, or better, Martin, you present yourself.
Yes, hello, I'm Martin Gasser. I'm working in the ILO on local economic development since 2000. Now, it's already about 5 years that I'm working at the International Training Center of the ILO, working on still local economic development and mostly on training courses on LED.
Let me present myself. My name is Ulrich Hames-Liedtke. I'm a partner of MISO Partner, and I'm inviting to give a participatory lesson in the LED training course that ILO Training Center organize every year. But tell us about the history of the LED course of the Training Center.
Well, the history is quite simple, since that the ILO has started working on LED in the early 90s. Some of you might recall local economic development agencies in Central America in the so-called PRODERE project. This was a project covering various Central American countries right after the crisis that has affected most of those countries, from Guatemala to El Salvador, Nicaragua, and so on. The ILO has afterwards applied its approach in Africa, in Mozambique, again, crisis affected at that time. It was natural disasters. Cambodia is another example in the early 90s. And at a certain point around the end of the 90s, the ILO felt that it was about time to learn from those experiences, and not only to learn from them, but also to, let's say, make some knowledge sharing on those experiences among the ILO staff members, but also beyond, in order to see, you know, what could we change, what could we make the same way, or, well, what can we learn from it?
Well, that's a very interesting point. With the later agencies, you promoted a long time, and MISO Partner was one of the hardest critics on this approach, because our approach was using the institutional form of LED, which symbolized by the later approach, like some kind of counterpoint to our more quick win-orientated approach. And our main critics on the institutional thing was that institution building at the beginning of the LED process may ignore existing institution in the community, and therefore probably it was not the right beginning, because it made more complicated the approach, and there was more requirement for coordination and cooperation. And in many cases, this development initiatives were not very sustainable. What's your opinion about it?
Well, MISO Partner was actually right, that local economic development agencies as such are not really the solution to LED. It is rather one of the possible implementing bodies that you might use for LED. Most of the times an agency is connected to high expenses in staff, high fixed costs, and after 1 or 2 years, in many cases, one realizes that creating a new institution is not necessarily what a local economic or what a territory needs. However, the ILO has used agencies in crisis-affected areas, and that's, I think, the big difference. And just to give you an example, if you have a situation where, like in Somalia, where you have two parties fighting each other with the lowest level of social capital or the lowest level of trust that you can imagine, it is basically not possible to work with existing institutions. If a population has been in civil war for 10 years or so, there is no way you can tell them now start working with existing institutions. So an agency might actually be an acceptable transition body that you might install in a territory in order to just get fighting or formally fighting people together on one table to start a dialogue in a new, completely neutral body. Once the dialogue, and this is what ILO is advocating, social dialogue at all levels, once the dialogue has started again, then you might slowly, and this is a long-term process, think of going back again to existing institutions.
With a mention of social dialogue, perhaps there's another concept which is now very popular in the ILO LED community. It is connecting LED with decent work. What is this about?
Well, you know, decent work is, let's say, the concept that the ILO is speaking out for. Decent work is a very easy way, or a very immediate way of saying what you might understand of a job that includes quality, that is well paid. Decent work includes concepts like freedom of association, dignity, absence of child labor, no exploitation. Well, these are some of concepts that might come to your mind. What we are thinking of decent work at a local level is nothing else than a job or employment, if you want, that includes certain elements such as the existence of social security, social protection, a job that includes rights. We believe that the rights-based approach to development should be an approach followed not just at a national level, but also and mostly at a local level. We have already talked about social dialogue, but if at the local level there is no dialogue among stakeholders, it's very difficult to talk about development, neither about economic nor about social development.
We are doing LED practices in developing countries, so we are confronted mainly with informal sectors, and the LED approach is very connected with small and medium-sized enterprise and entrepreneurship. When we are talking about work, what is the link there? Is there also a connection with decent work and entrepreneurship, small and medium-sized enterprise?
Yes, of course. You know, at a local level, it is quite immediate what you are talking about. It is about informal sector, as you said. It's about micro-enterprises. It's about people that many times have to survive, but also small or medium enterprises. It's not just about, let's say, trade unions, but also we believe that each party at the local level needs to represent its interests. Only if you get representatives of workers, might it be business associations, might it be cooperatives, might it be any kind of other organism that represents business, only if you get them together with local governments or those who represent the public powers at the local level and representatives of those who are actually working, that are workers, you might think of trade unions at the local level, but also other kinds of representative mechanisms of workers. Only if you get those parties together, then you can start working on employment policies at the local level. Only then you can think of strategies of generating employment. And only then you can think of talking also about what else you need apart from a job, because there's jobs and jobs, and a decent job is actually that thing that most of the people all over the world are having ambition for.
Probably the shifts in work conditions is a very long perspective goal of local economic development initiatives. So when we are working with our compass, with the application of the balanced scorecard to local economic development, we are talking about, first, you have to learn to understand how involved, how to work in local communities. Then you have to manage the inner processes. You have to connect you with the perspective of the clients, of the other stakeholders interested, and then you're reaching all the goals of employment, fighting poverty, and also the working condition. Is this more a long-term objective, or you can also reach, or you have examples to reach with decent work in a short time, quick wins?
Well, we all know that the people quite like quick wins right away, and we are seeking also quick wins, although we know that mostly when you talk about job generation, when you talk about local economic or social development, it is relatively unrealistic to talk about really short-term results. My personal belief is that everybody who promises quick wins is not actually promising the right thing. LED is a long-term process, and also decent work is part of that. So we necessarily need to work with local governments, with national governments, with all the other stakeholders, public or private, on rather long-term wins. However, there are examples that you can look at decent work in a short term. You can create mechanisms that help people to have a minimum of social protection. You can have situations where local economic development strategies actually include rights where gender is part of the local economic development strategy. We don't think that we are just talking about theory. We just want to realize those who do local economic development that they should look at job creation, for those who look at employment, that they should look at it from another angle. We just would like somebody who works in technical development cooperation, for example, to look at the local forum and say, hey, there is no representation of women in there. That's partly decent work. We are not pretending anything else. We also know that decent work or job quality, as you said, job quality is different all over the world. But there are certain not acceptable ways of working, such as child labor.
Probably the ILO approach is a human phase of local economic development, and including this aspects of social and environmental standards to the competitiveness concept. And there is a criteria which is very inclusive. One aspect when we are talking about local economic development is also the learning aspect. We call LED a learning process, and this is probably linked with your training courses. What is the objective, and who are the participants of training courses you are organizing here in Turin?
Yeah, you're right. Learning is a big deal within local economic development. Even within the ILO, we are continuously learning about local economic development. We realize that we still don't have the magic formula, and I think everybody would like to have it, and we are all very far away from it. The Turin Center, as part of the ILO, is trying to foster the sharing of experiences on local economic development. Our training courses are being organized for people that work in development, that means that work on technical cooperation, and are interested to make an important shift from, let's say, the traditional top-down policies towards a more bottom-up approach. We do have people that already work on local economic development but would like to know more about it. A big chunk of our participants are actually also national policymakers that have heard about local economic development. They don't know exactly what it is about, but they would like to know more about it. And I think this is actually one of the important shifts that are being made within the ILO on local economic development. We believe that LED promoted in bits and pieces here and there is not enough. We believe that LED promoted in an isolated territory somewhere in the middle of nowhere might create an important impact. But most importantly, we believe that LED must be promoted also at a national level. It's not just a bottom-up process, but it's also about enabling the environment for local economic development by national policymakers.
Actually, you are organizing this training every year in Turin, and there's a Spanish course where I am participating, and there's an English course where my colleague Jörg Meyer-Stammer is participating. What are the criteria and what is the possibility that listeners of this podcast can join this trainings course and some of the aspects they have to fulfill to be the next year in Turin with you?
We invite everybody to participate in our courses. However, we believe that a good group of participants with a certain level of experience in economic and social development would create, let's say, a better environment for learning. Therefore, we encourage those people who have already at least some years, I'm talking about 6-7 years of experience in development to participate in our courses. We know that our courses are special from the point of view that they are extremely international. Just to make an example, in the course on local economic development in 2007, we have more than 20 nationalities with around 45 participants. So what is interesting here is to get enormous view of experiences on local economic development from all over the world. We believe this is one of the real added values that we can give, apart from the fact that we are in Italy, where local economic development is actually living or is being lived by many people already for the last 30 years or so. This means we have interesting places to visit, can learn from experiences in our field, and this brings actually a very important added value to our courses.
Yes, this is probably a topic for our next podcast where we can chat about the experience with this excursion to the slow food community, where they promote local products. And, finishing the podcast, the last question related with the new trend on LED you talked about of LED mainstreaming. What do you mean by that?
Well, it is, I think, interesting that local economic development in the ILO has existed, as I said, already since the 90s. When I talk about LED mainstreaming, I think of an in process that happens within the ILO, that there are more and more people, units and sectors that realize that local economic development might be an interesting tool to integrate different development tools that the ILO has already got at its disposal. The ILO has been working in development for so many years with a huge experience of a wide array of experts, and local economic development might be, and this is, let's say, a guess, mainstreamed within the ILO, where we might have a situation where most of our experts will work in a bottom-up approach using existing LED tools that might fit into an LED framework. And this might be the first time that actually a UN organization uses such a framework in a real integrated way within the or throughout the whole organization.
Martin, thank you. That is a very promising perspective. LED as a platform where different policies can land, can do their efforts to development.
We have the course website on the yearly Local Economic Development Strategies course, which is www.itcilo.org/ LED.
Thank you very much for joining this podcast with me.